Welcome to a very festive episode of Sleepover Cinema, where we analyze the films that created the collective unconscious of those who are forced to live vicariously through various child stars in order to pretend Julie Andrews is, in fact, their grandmother. I'm Hannah Leach.
And I'm Audrey Leach. We are the sister filmmaking duo, also known as Two Pink Pictures, and we have not stopped thinking about these movies since we first saw them.
We're going to explore the good, the bad, and the nonsensical of the movies that first inspired our love for film in an attempt to answer the question, are these movies actually good? And at the end of the day, do we really care if they are?
Today, we are talking about 2003's Eloise at Christmas Time.
On Disney DVD and video, your favorite pint-sized princess is back.
Eloise.
In the new Eloise at Christmas Time, with the legendary Julie Andrews as Nanny.
Très extraordinaire.
Christmas in New York City is a truly magical time of year.
Is there anything more wonderful than Christmas in New York?
And Eloise is spreading her own brand of holiday cheer.
It's Christmas Eve!
And mischief.
Has anyone seen my pet now?
It's a fun...
I think it's nice to give Santa lots of options.
Heartwarming Christmas adventure.
It's not the presents that come wrapped in ribbons and bows that count, as much as the ones that come from here.
Own and give Eloise at Christmas Time this holiday season. Only on Disney DVD and video November 16th.
I absolutely love Christmas.
Merry Christmas, everyone!
Happy holidays!
It's Christmas Eve Eve, this day that you were hearing this. And so we figured we would just get into some festivity for all of you today with a movie that we really were excited to watch. But before we get into the movie, Audrey, what is our hot take of the week?
So the hot take comes from Love Tara Marie, at Love Tara Marie.
Okay.
And this one is potentially a very hot take, I feel like.
Okay.
And it is, Michelle Trachtenberg could do Lindsay Lohan, but Lindsay Lohan couldn't do Michelle Trachtenberg.
I don't think I agree.
No?
What do you think?
I really had to think about the roles that Michelle has played. I think that... Let's think. Okay, Michelle could do Lindsay's roles. To be frank, either of them could do either of their roles.
Yeah, I agree.
But I think Lindsay was the right choice over Michelle for the roles that she got.
Yes.
Like, they needed, like, a specificity that Michelle can't always bring. However, Michelle's great at being evil.
I was going to say, I'm trying to think of Lindsay as Georgina, right?
Yeah.
And that probably would have worked. But it would have been distracting because Lindsay would have been too famous for that role.
I don't know. Hilary Duff was in Gossip Girl.
Oh, yeah. I forgot. Isn't it gay?
No, not really. They just have a threesome with Dan.
Right. Okay.
It's not really.
So not actually gay. Well, kind of gay. That is a really good.
It's for Dan, though.
Ew. I hate that. But it's also hard to imagine Lindsay Lohan, like, doing Ice Princess.
Yeah, like, I think Michelle's the right choice. I think ultimately, like, their paths were, paved correctly.
Yes.
For the most part, other than the fact that they both don't really get roles anymore.
Right.
Lindsay's coming back, we know.
Yes.
But that's why it's such a hot take, is because it's, like, clearly there's an opinion there.
Yeah, that's true. That is really
Michelle true. Michelle could do Lindsay, but Lindsay couldn't do Michelle.
I don't think Lindsay is incapable of doing anything, actually.
Yeah,
wise.
I think she could have done any of the roles Michelle did. And
I
think Michelle could have done any of the roles Lindsay did. It just would be very different.
Yes, I agree.
Like, they might not have landed as well.
Yeah, I totally agree.
So I guess we're saying we don't agree with
that. We don't agree with you. Sorry. But thank you for pitching that hot take. So now that we have that out of the way and we are warmed up, Audrey, you are guiding us through the facts this time.
Yes.
Okay, I'm ready.
So, you know, there's been a lot of movies, not a lot, but a decent number of movies we've covered at this point that have all been released through the Wonderful World of Disney series.
Yes.
Which clearly is just the strong point of Disney as an entire company. Like, there's truly not a better era for them. We've, you know, Cinderella, 97 Cinderella, 99 mm-hmm. Annie, 2003's Eloise at Christmas Time. Like,
yes.
They don't do it like this anymore.
They don't.
And so it was released through the wonderful world of Disney on November 22nd, 2003, directed by Kevin Lima or Lima, I don't know. Mm-hmm. And he also directed the other Eloise movie. There's one that is just Eloise at the Plaza, and then there's one that's Eloise at Christmas Time. He directed both of them.
And it came out the same year.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah. It's like a two for one. He also directed Enchanted and A Goofy Movie and Tarzan.
Wow.
Which are huge, huge movies. Mm-hmm. Disney, you know. And then he was a writer on Aladdin.
Yeah.
So successful
Thank
man.
Thank you for your contributions, Kevin.
Successful man.
Absolutely.
And this was produced by 10 people, which kind Whoa. Of makes sense because yeah. it's TV and things get complicated.
Right.
But we've got Kevin, who's a co-producer and director. Elizabeth Chandler, co-producer and writer, and we were talking about her the other day mm-hmm. with What a Girl Wants, but she was involved with Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants, What a Girl Wants, and A Little Princess. Thomas D. Adelman was a producer. He was the producer, so mm-hmm. I figured I should put him in there. He produced The Usual Suspects, Dick Tracy, and Planet 51. He was definitely like older.
Yeah.
Than everybody else. And Denise DeNovi executive produced Heather's, Little Women, James yeah. the Giant Peach. We talk about Our her faves. Every 5 seconds.
Yes.
Christina A. Sicani line produced, and she was involved with both of the Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants movies.
There's like a little click going on.
Yeah.
Here.
Like they know each other.
Yes.
They like to work with each other, clearly. Yes. And the screenplay was written by Elizabeth Chandler, who I just mentioned. She also co-produced, but thought it was worth mentioning that Eloise is based on the books written by Kay Thompson in the 1950s. And they were illustrated by Hilary Knight, who honestly kind of made them. You know, the yeah. writing is important, but the imagery is almost more yeah, important definitely. In the books.
And like the color scheme and everything.
Yeah. Iconic.
There's a documentary about him.
Yeah.
Yeah. I haven't seen it though.
I have.
What did you think?
It's good. I mean, it's very informational.
How dare a documentary it's be purely just like, informative?
Sometimes I wish they were more like just like scenes with the person.
Yes, totally. Okay. So the log line for this movie is a 6-year-old girl causes problems for her British guardian, a prince, and a hotel manager. Minimalistic.
And yeah, there's two.
Yes. Two, so yeah. that's the log line. And then we have a more fleshed out synopsis. Family film adapted from Kay Thompson's stories about a precocious but lovable 6-year-old girl who lives in New York's Plaza Hotel. The owner of the hotel's daughter is getting married, but Eloise decides she is marrying him for the wrong reasons and tries her hand at a spot of matchmaking. But will it work? What do we think of that synopsis?
That's pretty accurate.
I agree. And okay, taglines, there's none.
None. Cause it was for TV. I even looked at, I Googled like the VHS mm-hmm. cover, you know, the packaging, all that stuff. There's no tagline on there.
That is so upsetting.
At all.
That is not good for us. I'm going to invite you to do the cast.
Why?
Because it's actually your job.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Of course, we've got Julie Andrews as Nanny. Mm-hmm. Sound of Music, Mary Poppins, The Princess Diaries. We know.
Yes, we do.
We know. We understand. Yes, we do. I do not even have to elaborate.
Mm-hmm.
And then Sofia Vassilieva plays Eloise.
Mm-hmm.
And she's actually not even known for this movie, which I think is great.
Yeah.
She's known for The Little Things, Looking for Alaska, and My Sister's Keeper. I was kind of expecting it to hit the top four, but it didn't.
Wow.
So good for her.
Yeah.
Gavin Creel plays Bill. And Gavin Creel doesn't have a whole lot of screen credits because he is a theater person.
Yes, he is.
Through and through. Waitress, She Loves Me, Book of Mormon, originated the role of Jimmy in Thoroughly Modern Millie.
Yep.
And his voice is great on that soundtrack.
He is the archetypal perfect straight white guy musical theater lead.
Except he's not straight, but other than that.
Oh, he's not?
No.
Oh, well, you know, he plays straight roles though.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's a Jonathan Groff, which is funny because I found out that he dated Jonathan Groff.
Really?
Yes.
That makes sense.
And he was in the original workshop of Spring Awakening in 2001.
Wow.
And he went to Findlay High School, which is in Ohio, and was in the show choir there, Findlay First Edition.
And we've competed against them many times.
They're a very formal show choir. They're like ball gowns and very dapper.
It makes sense.
Yeah, it makes a whole lot of sense. Mm-hmm. So I could go on about him just because I feel like I love him.
He's
actually
perfect.
He's perfect.
He's literal perfection.
Yeah. And then Sarah Topham plays Rachel Peabody, who is also a theater person. You can just tell.
Yes.
But she doesn't have any notable screen credits other than Eloise. And then here's where the genius really comes in.
Yeah.
Christine Baranski as Prunella Stickler. Who we've talked about so many times, I feel like, at this point.
Yes.
She's known for Mamma Mia, Chicago, Into the Woods, and The Good Fight. Enough said. And finally, Jeffrey Tambor plays Mr. Salamone. He is known for Transparent, Arrested Development, and How the Grinch Stole Christmas. Perfect.
Perfection. Casting is one of the strengths of this movie.
One of the many.
Yes, absolutely. Okay, so budget here. I would normally take us into the numbers. I'm using Audrey's notes. There's no disclosed budget, but Audrey, in her personal opinion, would guess $15 million.
I have no clue if that's right or not, but I feel like it's kind of right.
There really isn't anything particularly expensive seeming, except
locations.
For the sets. Yeah. Slash, do you think that they actually filmed in the plaza?
I think they did for some shots for sure.
Yeah.
But not all of them.
Yeah. And then for reviews.
It's kind of sad because this was on TV and sort of niche content, there's not a whole lot out there. So for some reason, for both Eloise at the Plaza and Eloise at Christmas Time, there's one critic opinion on both of them. And the first movie had, this was the critic consensus. Jeffrey Tambor, Christine Baranski, and Deborah Monk assist in the agreeable proceedings. That is the most
disrespectful,
dry thing I've ever heard in my life. And then the second movie, it was a marked improvement over its predecessor.
So they're saying the Christmas one is better than the first one. Okay. I feel like I've only seen the Christmas one.
I've seen both and the Christmas one is better.
Yeah.
It's just like, you know, when you add a theme onto something and it just like enhances it so much.
Yes, absolutely.
Like
Christmas edition.
It's like that.
Yeah.
But the audience score.
Okay, so audiences loved this one. Well, they favored it. It was a 73% audience score.
It was like a decent amount higher than the audience score for the first movie.
Okay, well, that's good.
Yeah.
And there are two audience opinions. The first one says, more regal than The Princess Diaries, Julie Andrews looks like a wreck. She does look like a wreck. I actually feel like she's disrespected in this movie in the way that she looks.
She's supposed to, though, because that comes straight from the illustrations.
Yes.
She looks better than the illustrations.
Yeah, too. I'm sure. And then it says, one of my absolute favorite heroines when I was a little girl has been perfectly played to a T by Sofia Vassilieva. The entire cast is marvelous. And though it slips into cheesy moments, what do you expect? It's a kid's movie. It's hilarious enough to keep me entertained and livid with envy. Of who?
Because they live in the plaza.
Because they're just like fancy people.
Yeah.
Agreeable, honestly. These people live a fantasy life, but like in the best way. It makes it really fun to watch. And now this gossip section, Audrey, what do we have here?
We've been through this before, but I broadened it to 2003 because not a whole lot of celebrity gossip in November 2003.
Yes.
I think everyone was preoccupied Thanksgiving.
Okay.
So the Britney Madonna kiss, Michael Jackson was arrested, Britney and Cameron Diaz swapped boyfriends. Like it was Britney and JT, it was Cameron Diaz and Jared Leto. And at some point during that year, they swapped boyfriends.
I can't believe Jared Leto has been relevant for that long.
I know.
It's so weird.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
And then as far as movies in our genre, in our sector that came out that year, Love Actually, Uptown Girls, Cheaper by the Dozen, How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days, and that one specific version of Peter Pan that everybody knows.
The 2003. Oh, the live action one. Yeah. Okay. So before we get into our next section, there's a couple things I want to talk about. Obviously, we have to talk about what we remember from the movie. So, okay, let's just talk about that first. Thoughts? What did you remember before you rewatched it?
I feel like we might have gotten this from the library or something.
That seems right.
Because we didn't own it.
We did not own it.
But it was in my mind.
Yes.
I knew I had seen it because Julie is in it, I'm guessing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It was like in my brain, but I don't have a whole lot of like specific memories attached to it.
I remember being really good. I remember the musical-esque elements of it. Julie Andrews not being prim and proper is really disturbing when you're a child, but still really liked it.
And her post-surgery, like she can't sing at this time.
Yeah, I have some notes written about that for the second half. That is obviously like an American tragedy like no other, an English tragedy.
Global tragedy.
Definitely feel like I saw this at the Siegfried's house at some point too. Aaron and Julia's house.
Our cousins.
Yeah. But the other thing I want to ask is what are some of your most potent memories of Christmas as a child? Like what are some of your favorite toys you got? Like things you looked forward to? Because it's a Christmas episode.
Well, we had the one where we were moving or something. I don't know. What was the one where it was really cold in the house in Boston?
Yeah.
I don't even know what the story was. When
I was in first grade and Andrea was in preschool, we were living in Boston, but we went home to Ohio for Christmas and we stayed with grandma and grandpa. And we got like a couple presents when we were there, but we didn't get like Santa level presents. And then when we came home, A, the heat had broken, and B,
well, the door was open. That's what the heat wasn't broken.
Yeah, the door was like wide open or something. Yeah. Like wild. And Santa had come. And then we got all of our presents at like a super random time.
Mm-hmm.
And you got that sick vanity table.
Yeah, that's really what I'm thinking of.
Yep. I got some good stuff that year too. But we would wake up really early in the morning. I would get really excited. Obviously, I mean, everyone gets excited on Christmas. There was one year that I really wanted this one Barbie. It was a mermaid Barbie, and both Aaron and Audrey got it, and I didn't, and I was really jealous.
Oh, there was the year where we actually looked at all our presents before.
Child warning. If you're a child, stop listening.
If you're a child, it's too late. Sorry.
Yeah. There was a year when it was in our second house. It was in Solon. So I was in like eighth grade and I was like hell bent on finding my Christmas gifts because it was part of the fun. But I like found too much.
It's actually not fun, it turns out.
No, it was kind of fun.
You just feel bad.
Yeah, but then I ended up feeling bad, but I found a bike in our basement.
Yeah, we found bikes. We actually found our first laptops too, but we didn't know they were laptops because they were wrapped already.
Yep. It was too much. We didn't need to do all that, but ever since I did that, I was like I never went looking again because I was like, this isn't even fun. Like,
no, you just don't do it. It's very tempting.
Yeah.
But don't do it.
Yeah. I think my favorite Christmas gift I ever got, though, was my pink iPod mini when I was in fifth grade. That rocked my world.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very cute. And I think we still have it.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mine was truly my favorite gift is probably just my first laptop. Like for, that's a good one.
Yeah.
When you're an adult, it's a whole lot less fun.
Kind of, but it's fun to get stuff for people.
Yes, but you just also have to do it.
Yeah, that is
true. It has to go both ways.
That's true. You're not just like randomly hooked up with stuff. It's true. But I'm excited, especially because it's like normally on Christmas Eve, we go out to dinner with our parents and with Josh, my boyfriend. And last year we didn't get to do that because of COVID. And this year, if it's ill-advised, we will do that, which will be fun. And our family's really good at structured conversations based on themes. So I'm sure that's shocking as you are listening to us have this structured conversation now. But yeah, we have juicy convos. So that's always fun. Go watch Eloise. It's not easy to find. We watched it from a weird YouTube link.
It wasn't. Oh, first of all, it's not weird. And you should find. It's not hard to find either. if you just go on YouTube and search Eloise at Christmas Time, it's like okay, the second
it's
one.
It's hard to find a high res, normal looking version of it. The version we watched was in like
380p I don't
or something.
Know because it's not on Disney Plus and it's not for rent.
I feel like so many of those wonderful, wonderful World of Disney movies are so hard to access.
Yep. But they did put Cinderella on Disney Plus, so.
Yeah.
So it's probably a matter of time. But, you know, go to your local Goodwill and look for it.
Scrounge.
Look for Scrounge. A copy of it.
And see what you can find.
Yeah.
Okay. We will be back with our thoughts on Eloise at Christmas Time.
You've watched them in unforgettable adventures, love affairs, and tragedies. Now it's time to hear their own remarkable stories. From the makers of Death of a Rockstar and Death of a Sports Star, this is Death
Ready.
Of a Film Star.
And action.
Starring Heath Ledger, Marilyn Monroe, Chadwick Boseman, Robin Williams, Carrie Fisher, and Bruce Lee. Search for Death of a Film Star in your podcast app. You've seen them tell stories. Now it's time to tell theirs.
We are back for our very special Christmas episode of Sleepover Cinema, and it is time for us to talk about Eloise at Christmas Time. It's about to be a positive experience for both of us, I believe.
Yeah, honestly, probably a short episode because it's a sort of a short movie, and well, it's like average, it's like 90 minutes, but it's so good that I would like to live in the movie.
I totally agree with you.
How could I possibly have qualms with this?
It is like almost even better than I remember.
Yeah.
Which is so rare.
Yeah.
It's so good.
Literally the only thing that I even dared to put in like worse or whatever is that I just didn't understand the time period.
Oh, yeah.
That was confusing.
Yes, yes, yes.
Because we have the opened in the 2000s Toys R Us store.
I wrote that too.
But they are sending telegrams and like using film cameras, looking at magazines from the 1950s. Like,
it definitely had to be a situation where they did some sort of like partnership with Toys R Us.
Like, I was confused.
We are supposed to suspend our disbelief, but she really would have been more at something like what's that one toy store that closed?
FAO Schwarz.
FAO
it's
Schwarz.
Open though now.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Okay. That would have aesthetically fit better, but they had to have had some sort of collab with Toys R Us because you see the whole Ferris wheel and all that shit. Like, it's very like you don't know what the time period is until that moment. I mean, like, you know the time period of the in-world world, but like when it was made, you don't know until you see that.
Mm-hmm. I mean, if you look at Julie, if you know Julie, you look at her, you know the time
period. Yeah, that's true. That's also true. So should we start with the bad then? Because I have a couple more.
Yeah.
Firstly, and again, my good outweighs the bad a lot, so I'll keep it moving. But they shouldn't have had Julie sing at all. I know she was supposed to be singing in like a casual, like, I'm not a singer kind of way, but it's like,
I think the character's supposed to be bad.
It just made me feel weird.
Really?
Yeah, a little bit. Not you?
No, because I think that there's some power. There's like power in her being confident enough to know that her voice isn't what it used to be.
Yeah,
and
I guess
still
that's true.
Sing.
Yeah, it just, to me, it was like when I heard it, I was like, did they write this in not fully knowing what happened to her voice?
No,
like,
no. There's no way.
It just made me feel weird. Okay. There's that. I hate it in movies when father-daughter duos cannot be platonic, just like What a Girl Wants. I was like, why is Rachel's dad like, you're so grown up.
Yeah, like ew.
Ew. I hated that moment so much. That made me feel weird.
At least she wasn't like 12, but still, like, it's still weird.
It literally felt like that part in Cinderella, do I want you because, like, it gave me that vibe for like a smidge.
With the father?
Literally with the father.
Oh, weird.
The vibe was weird.
Yeah.
I also thought that the scene where the old lady that Eloise despises just like tells her whole life story because she doesn't understand that it's convenient. Eloise. It was just a little convenient.
Yeah.
But
it's okay because the whole thing is a cartoon.
Absolutely.
Like you can excuse anything.
Yes.
Like that. That's too convenient.
Yes. When they sing 12 Days of Christmas, the alto part is very suspicious. There's sections where it's like not notes. And I just thought that that was really funny. And Rachel has no personality, really.
Yeah. But you know what? But partially I was like, I kind of get it because from Eloise's perspective, It's like that was something I wrote in my appreciate is like it actually captures that feeling really well of like when you're a little girl and there's like a young woman or like a teenager who's really pretty or who's just like around you or whatever and how you like look up to them even if they're actually boring as fuck.
but you won't
know that.
Yeah, right.
You just like project coolness onto them.
Yes.
And that is Rachel's role.
That's very accurate. Yeah. I agree. And then my last thing is I was very confused by the ending. It's like, why were they threatening to kick out the old lady if then they were just going to be like, never mind? Like, who paid for it?
You don't get that?
No, I didn't get it.
Oh.
Who did that?
The owner, Rachel's father.
Oh,
yeah.
Wait, but then why didn't he just do that in the first place?
Because he didn't care then.
Oh, well, who made him care?
Indirectly, Eloise.
How?
Because, essentially, let me see if I can even remember how to explain it. But what I'm saying, it is true. Like, that is the inference is that because Eloise was able to, like, prove to him that true love exists, essentially, that, like, Gavin. That Bill and
Rachel
should be together. It like softened his cold heart.
Oh, I see.
When Bill shows up in the like Bavarian costume or whatever.
Yes.
I love that.
Yeah, it's a moment.
I feel like I'm forgetting the missing like plot point that proves that that's true. But that's the idea. Is it a thing in the Eloise books that you don't see her mother's face?
I loved that part. I think yes. It reminded me of Mrs. Bellum from Powerpuff Girls.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I don't know if that's probably a stylistic thing carried over.
Yeah.
I kind of like that.
I thought it was cool.
I don't know why I said that, even though I don't have bad things to say.
Okay. Well, if you don't have bad things to say, we should just go right into the good things.
I mean, perfect casting. We know. We already said that.
Yes.
I thought they did a great job translating the tone of the books and illustrations into film language. Mm-hmm. That involves a lot of like dolly shots that are sped up as they move towards someone or just like elements that you can add that bring a cartoonish, like larger than life effect. They did a great job with that. I'm actually mad because I'm sure that Julie and Sophia had like the cutest working relationship ever. And I'm mad about it.
You're like, can that be me?
Actually mad.
Yeah.
This is the type of movie that makes me tear up for no reason.
Yes.
Like it's not sad.
No.
It's literally not sad.
I almost felt the same way at the end, actually.
Yeah. But I'm like the joy.
It's so joyful.
The joy that this exudes.
Yeah.
Holy shit. And it makes me want to go get tea at the Plaza. Like, it makes me want to spend money.
Is that all you have?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I have more specific things. Okay. Eloise is just a very delightful premise in general. Like, precocious young lady living in the Plaza. Just like, yes, I want to see what she's up to. Amazing casting, amazing score, amazing characters. The world, as we've said already a million times, the world just is so inviting. You really want to be there. I love that this movie is just genuinely about a little girl inserting herself into shit she has no purpose or like no business being involved in, just because she wants people to be happy.
Yeah.
And like wants things to be right. I just think that that is so like wholesome and nice. Just yes. The dancing, okay, this is almost a good bad thing. The dancing in the scene where Rachel and Bill are singing together is like almost too pro.
Yeah, it's too good.
It's like too good. Like they're so sharp. I'm like, there's something going on here. Like there's something fishy going on. Vocals, especially from Gavin.
So good.
Literally perfect.
Heavenly.
And his acting dynamic with Eloise too. It's so cute. It's so cute. It's so fun to watch.
And this was his screen debut, may I add.
Pro. Truly doing what God intended him to do.
Yeah.
So talented. I really loved Julie unnecessarily knocking everyone all over the place. Like when she finds out that Eloise got locked in the cabinet, when she's like barging through the lobby, she's like knocking over every single person, like way more than is necessary. But I thought that that was like really fun and funny. And also just seeing Julie Andrews be like unrefined is funny / very unique for people our age, at least. And the part when near the end where like Eloise thinks that her mom isn't going to be home for Christmas, and when they just Nanny and her like hang out and then like pass out under the Christmas tree, I was like, I want to be there.
Yeah, I was like, I'm mad actually.
Like
that's the whole thing. This whole movie, it's just that when the one review was like, it makes me livid with envy or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Same. It's just like such an interesting portrayal of a situation where like this could be shitty for Eloise, but she's just vibing, like not having her parents around or whatever. It's just beautiful. I just want to be a part of it. And I like that the movie is just about like love and happiness. It's super saccharine, obviously, but it's really funny because all of the adults are like trustworthy, non-creepy people, except for the sketchy husband, obviously, who are acting with Eloise as if she is their equal. And it's just amazing to watch.
Yeah. You know, it actually is kind of good if this episode is short because it's Christmas Eve Eve.
Yeah, that's true.
Who has time for that?
That's true.
Oh, wait, that's literally a line in the movie.
I know.
It's Christmas Eve.
You can post that when it goes up.
Yeah.
I thought that the lack of parents when the mom called and like couldn't come, I did find that to be genuinely very heartbreaking.
Yeah. But you also, you know, you also are questioning in your mind, like it's sort of Uptown Girls vibes.
Yes.
You're like, oh, should I be thinking negatively about the mom, or is she just a girl boss? Like, we don't even know about the dad. You don't even think about the dad.
No, the dad is not
involved. He's just not even relevant. So I'm like, well, I guess I should be happy that the mom's even calling her from Paris or whatever.
Yes, that is really true.
Just like about our programming, like why I didn't even think about Eloise's dad.
Nope.
Not once.
No.
But I was judging the mom a little bit.
Yeah.
But if my nanny was Julie Andrews, I'd leave too. Like if mine.
Yes.
If Julie Andrews was the nanny of my child, I would leave.
You would trust.
I'd be like, you're good. You're like, actually better off.
Better off. Like, yeah. This movie really slapped a lot harder than I thought it would, but there really isn't that much deep to say about it.
No. That's not what we're here for today.
No. We're here for a nice little Christmas spectacular.
Yeah, or holiday spectacular.
Yeah, if sorry.
You do not celebrate. But maybe you partake in the culture.
You most likely partake in the culture to a certain extent. If you're someone who listens to Sleepover, you're probably pretty enthusiastic about things in general.
Oh, you know what else we did not even mention? Eloise's wardrobe.
Oh, yeah.
That red coat, the sunglasses, the red bow.
Perfect.
So good.
Perfect. Also, Rachel's wardrobe is really good too.
Wedding dress was pretty.
Like the perfect, like, cool older sister vibe. Like, you were totally right about like the projecting coolness onto someone. That definitely happens with her.
Yeah. It doesn't matter if she's actually stupid or boring, because when you're a little girl,
a pretty lady.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, I don't know how to, you can't perceive adults like that.
Yes.
So.
No, you cannot. So, okay. Is Eloise a Christmas Time worthwhile?
Yeah.
More than I possibly could have imagined. It was so good. I want to see the behind the scenes featurette on this shit.
I kind of feel like whatever's there, there's not much of it.
Probably not. So, which is a loss.
Yeah.
Because all the people involved.
Yeah.
It's literally perfect.
Yeah. It's perfect. It's a perfect film.
Once again, thank you to the wonderful world of Disney for providing for us.
Like,
because it's really great.
I will make it my life's mission to go back, like to go to Disney and be like, you need to start this shit back up.
It's, I mean, I don't even know if it's possible to do in this current age.
No, but like, I feel like the essence could be captured again when you cast the right people.
Yeah.
Like, people that bring a comforting feeling to the public.
Yeah.
Because that's what it is. That when you think about it, that's kind of what it is.
That is true.
Whoopi Goldberg, Victor Garber, Julie Andrews, Kathy Bates.
Yeah. But what came first? Them bringing comfort or us being children and watching them and being comfortable children?
I think they brought comfort to adults as it was.
Yeah, probably.
Because they had been around. It's not like they were yet really young then. Yeah,
that is true.
Like,
you're right. I'm trying to think of like who an equivalent of an actor like that that's like having their moment now would even be though.
But Reese Witherspoon kind of.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could definitely see that.
Laura Dern.
Yeah.
Where they're like middle-aged, but they've been around.
Oh, Jack Black.
Jack Black.
He would be good in a movie like this.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh my God. That would be so good. Also, Joan Cusack could definitely do something like this. Tell us your comfort actor or actress or person.
Julie Andrews.
Not you personally. Oh. I mean them at home.
You were looking at me.
I'm sorry. I said it with a lot of conviction too. Because I'm really curious. Jack Black is mine, obviously. Okay. So we hope. This is a short episode. We don't care.
We hope
that you have a great holiday weekend this weekend. We hope that if you're with family, that it's fun and minimally stressful, if it's normally stressful for you. And we thank you as always for supporting us and listening to our show. And we'll be back next week with another episode as always.
Fire merch. Okay, bye.
Fire merch. Okay. Bye. Talk to you soon.
Bye.
Bye. Sleepover Cinema is a production of Evergreen Podcasts, produced, edited, and engineered by us, Hannah and Audrey Leach. Sleepover Cinema is mixed by Sean Rule Hoffman with theme music by Josh Perlman Hall. Executive producer of this show is Michael D'Aloia.
You can find more from us at evergreenpodcast.com/sleepover-cinema and keep up with our latest creative projects at twopinkpictures.com. We're on Instagram and Twitter at twopinkpictures and would love to hear from you there.
And if you love Sleepover Cinema, if it's become a staple of your weekly routine, or if it's a new show you've been listening to, please leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or share an episode with a few friends, maybe even both.
We'll chat again soon. Bye.
Bye.
Hi, I'm Christina Yerling-Biro, host of the podcast Pop Culture Confidential. Join me as I go way behind the scenes with some of the most influential people in entertainment and media. Hear actors such as Succession's Brian Cox talk about his favorite characters to play.
There always has to be a mystery. The audience have to be in a situation where they want to know what's going on.
Meet studio execs like Pixar chief Pete Docter and learn his secret on how he makes us cry.
Emotion is our first language.
And so many others who are defining popular culture, from Obama speechwriter David Litt to Top Chef host Padma Lakshmi.
We don't often think about food politically, or we don't want to, but it really is.
Join me. Search for Pop Culture Confidential wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast was produced with the support of the Ohio Motion Picture Tax Credit and in partnership with the Ohio Development Services Agency.